Welcome to Your Odyssey Podcast, where your guides, Tara and Karen, invite you on a transformative journey toward wholeness and personal growth. Each week, we'll discuss topics related to the human experience and offer insights to help you along the way. Please note, this podcast should not replace medical care or advice. We are not licensed healthcare professionals or mental health therapists. If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe so you don't miss out on our future discussions. So, explorers, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome, explorers. It's Tara. Can you believe it's been 5 years since the COVID-19 pandemic shook up our lives?
5 años.
Today, Karen and I are chatting about how that time has shaped our lives. Reflecting on these past 5 years really helps us see how much we've changed and the lessons we've picked up during tough times. Mm. We've got some stories, some insights, and a good dose of hope to share with you. And we can't forget about the resilience we've discovered along the way.
That was the word that just popped in my head. I'm like, I'm going to say the resilience.
So get comfy, grab your favorite drink, and let's get started.
So much happened. So many thoughts and awarenesses and fears and appreciations and scenarios and situations.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Wow, it really shook us up. It really shook us up.
The world as we knew it was abruptly transformed by an invisible enemy that brought daily life to a standstill. Streets that once buzzed with activity grew silent. Schools closed their doors. Mm. And the usual hum of businesses faded into a whisper.
Yeah, there wasn't even no airplanes and everything stopped. It was like pre-technology anything. It just got right down to the nitty-gritty organicness of life.
We've been navigating the aftermath of an unprecedented pandemic, which has left profound marks on various aspects of our lives. Before we get into those areas, Karen, do you want to share your initial reaction to the pandemic?
Yeah, I was thinking, oh my God, when I heard things were shutting down, I was like, sweet. I was like, yes. I was thrilled. I wasn't taking lightly that this was, you know,
something
a real
big
thing
is happening.
And people were getting sick and it was not good. But for me personally, I was like, you mean to tell me I don't have to leave my house or talk to people for a little bit? As an introvert, I was like, this is my sweet spot. I'm good. I'm so good. I got this. I'm an introvert. I'm independent. I'm good. Fast forward.
Six months into it.
And I was like, oh, son of a gun. Oh my God. I need people.
Yeah.
It really shifted my perspective on community, what I do desire and need in my life for my well-being. And it's helped me really put it into perspective that we do need people, and even introverts need a community.
Kind of how you were designed.
I was so profoundly shocked and excited all at the same time because I had been a lone wolf like a lot of my life, and I was like, I'm good. I'm good. Until I was like, I'm not good. I'm not good. This is not good.
Yeah.
I'm alone. I've got my kids and the high anxiety of no school and... It was a swampland.
Yeah. Yes.
What was your initial?
I thought it was going to be shorter.
Mm.
I gave us way too much credit.
Oh,
I was like,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, we're going to go into lockdown for a little bit. We'll be fine by summer. Like, we'll be back outside for real peopling. For
like,
sure.
People are going to follow things. And we're going to follow all. Gone 2 months,
I don't know why
months.
I thought we were going to be rule followers. I have no idea why I thought that was going to be the case.
It's the optimistic hopeful.
I remember leaving work before the lockdown was. And I was like, all right, see y'all in the fall. Like. At the latest. That's what's
at the latest.
See y'all in the fall.
This can't possibly take more than 6 months, let's say.
A year later? Oh, we still we still here. Okay. And it was also for us the week before official lockdown.
Oh, yeah.
I had planned a Sweet 16 party. And that's I remember right. the week of the party leading up to it, people were calling me asking if we were still having the party. I said something slightly prophetic that I didn't know. I was just saying, I was like, yeah, because this might be the last thing that these kids do for a while. We're absolutely having the party.
Oh, man. True.
Oh, it was the last thing.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a blast. It was an amazing party, and then immediately in lockdown. So it's kind of like bittersweet to go out yes. on such a big celebration. I'm usually hesitant about celebrating birthdays before actual birthdays. Mm. But if the space had been available the week afterwards, we wouldn't have had it.
That's right.
And I was like, oh, look at how that all lined up yeah. so beautifully. In that time, I was planning to be a local remote employee. I enjoyed working from home in my office in that space, connecting digitally. So that was like, oh, yes, amazing. I can work from home.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, everybody home. This is not like it was before.
Oh, they're all up in my grill.
Everybody is here.
Yeah.
The kids schooling, my husband. Oh, we all here. Every last one of us are here.
Just huddled all up here. Real close to my space. Oh, the pain of getting my son on, you know, he was only in second grade.
No.
And getting him on the
on the thing that we couldn't even technology right. That was, it was like, this technology has existed for a while. Why are we not good at it? We still not good at it. But also, it was a lot.
It was a lot. And it's so funny. I know so many people who were like, yeah, I went to full remote and I love it. And they still love it. And I'm like, that's great. I loved it to an extent until I didn't. And then I was like, nope, need people, need stimulation, need conversation.
A little variety.
Except besides with my kids. Well, throw the puppy into the mix. And
you really went in. Because you got a pandemic puppy, I got a pandemic puppy. So, I mean, now it's fine. 5 years later, it's great.
Yeah, except for great-ish. They're both absolutely nuts.
They're pandemic puppies.
They're pandemic puppies. Have you seen? They took on all the anxiety of the entire household.
Have you seen pandemic babies? They're born and then they're holding their head up. These pandemic puppies, pandemic babies, they're not normal.
I don't know any pandemic babies.
TikTok will show you.
Okay.
Google it.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Let's do a little exploration of then and now. So what was it like during the unprecedented times? And what is it like now? First area to explore is health. I don't know if you guys remember, but the pandemic exposed quite a few cracks in our public health system.
In our health system?
In America. Exposed some things. We still haven't fixed those things, but it exposed some things. Hospitals were overwhelmed with patients and healthcare workers were facing intense burnout.
Oh man, the frontline workers.
Ooh, shout out to all the frontline workers.
Absolutely. I think to this day, they're still trying to recover. It's just been so rough.
And when vaccines started rolling out, there was some hope for getting back to normal, but we still had significant challenges, especially with people hesitant to get vaccinated, which made it really difficult to get the virus under control.
Such a pregnant pause, because I know there's so many things I want to say.
I gotta keep it in, because I'm like a guppy right now. Like, no, can't
I know,
say
I saw
that.
Your mouth moving, nothing came out. No, I was like, what?
I had to put it back because it almost went too far. So I'm going to keep that to off the pod.
I had the same thought. I was like,
No, we're going to leave that where it is. Hospitals turned into crisis centers, and those frontline workers continued to push themselves to the limit to care for patients. Routine medical care took a back seat. And long COVID became a significant concern even after they seemed to recover.
Yeah, it just overwhelmed the healthcare system. Mm-hmm. We saw the disparities in care. And then it just wreaked havoc in so many families. I mean, we both know people.
The sheer loss of life.
Yeah, it was just so intense. And the thing is, too, there's been spikes. Like, it's been coming. I just had a good friend who a year ago was in the ICU. It's fascinating to me in this day and age. Can we get a handle on it? I don't know.
Amidst all this, mental well-being became a major focus as we faced lockdowns, isolation, and anxiety about the virus.
Because we talk about it, how it's so important. Isolating is like so
15 cigarettes, y'all.
Detrimental to your physical and mental health.
Access to counseling services and mental health resources became crucial during this time, with many organizations working to provide help to those struggling.
Yeah, so many therapists I know are like, I can't even take all the people who are.
And I want to take all the people.
Right, yeah.
And that creates its own problem.
Exactly.
On a positive note, we saw a huge surge in telehealth services. This made it possible for doctors to give care remotely and helped ease the pressure on hospitals and offered patients a safer way to get the care they needed. Telehealth is still important to this day, but as you said earlier, it also highlighted disparities in care because not everyone had access. Not everyone has access.
Yeah. It's the same thing with education, right? Like there's just the disparities. We've got to be mindful of that.
All right. Let's explore safety and how the idea of safety changed during the pandemic. It made us all rethink what risk and precaution meant in our lives. Things we took for granted, like hand washing or just being around others, suddenly became super important for our well-being and those around us. Listen,
it got intense.
It's the hand washing for me, because I felt like we should not have had to tell people to wash their hands. Like, it shouldn't have been a whole campaign. I just want to say that really quickly. And then I'm going to get back into safety. But it was a whole thing. I'm like, so y'all just really been out here not washing your hands.
Right. We got to post this on 8.5x11
I'm like, okay, so like, if you're not washing your hands, the hand sanitizer. Like, I at the gas pump. Pump gas, hand sanitize my hands. Like, it was a whole thing. And I was just flabbergasted. Like, we got to tell people.
Right.
Wash your hands. What have y'all been doing?
Do you remember the whole thing about going grocery shopping and having to wipe everything down before it came into your house? Do you remember in the very beginning?
I did not do that.
I mean, I did not do it either, like, but I remember I was like,
it's a lot.
That's a lot. Ain't nobody got time for that.
What are they licking the packages? Like, what are we doing?
Oh my God.
And the toilet paper. Y'all lost your minds.
Oh my God. The toilet paper, the panic, the flames that were fanned by all of the things. And somebody like my mom
still got pandemic toilet paper,
man. Like, she will never run out of toilet paper.
Oh goodness.
But there was a lot of stress in my life because since she's at a different house and she's older, I wanted to be super careful about my kids or myself exposing her, and so there was like so many emotional repercussions.
Oh my gosh. And then the babies in the pandemic, like, that was the thing for me. Like, our friends had a baby, but I was like, I don't want to be the person that brings the coronavirus to the I'm gonna wave at a baby from outside. As much as I would want baby snuggles right now, I cannot do that. As we got used to this new way of thinking, it became clear that crowded places like busy restaurants or public transportation felt more uncomfortable than they used to. You could almost sense the rise in anxiety and worry about personal health and safety.
It was like everybody's walking around wearing a sign. Like, I'm freaked out, man. I'm just completely. Don't come close to me. Please don't look at me, and definitely do not sneeze anywhere near me.
Don't have allergies. Although I will say that allergy season was amazing because I had a mask on. Like, I was outside and did not.
I had a neighbor say that too. They were like, this was the best allergy season
best
I've ever
allergy
had.
Season
just wearing
ever.
A mask the whole time.
Businesses and organizations had to keep up with all of these changes as well. They started rolling out stricter safety measures like enhanced cleaning practices and limits on how many people could be inside at once to keep everyone safe. I pause here because what were the cleaning practices ahead of time? Like, what did y'all used to do? Like, were we not cleaning? Like, what is like the
hand
washing?
I'm
like, I have so many concerns.
What was pre-COVID protocol?
What are the extra checks for enhanced cleaning
practices? I don't know what was happening. That's hilarious.
Companies recognize the need for safety training and creating plans to ensure a work environment that prioritized health.
Yeah, and what's interesting, specifically with restaurants, you really saw The owners that were resilient and creative and could pivot about either doing a lot of to-go orders or having that outside seating. Some businesses really prevailed and did well, and some did not. All organizations had to think outside the box. They had to come up with solutions quickly.
I remember once we were returning to the office, businesses were good on having mental health days. It was great. It's like, oh, we just get a day to not do this because everything outside of this is a lot.
That's great.
Interestingly enough, the shift in safety also highlighted some gaps, especially in marginalized communities.
You don't say.
Where access to healthcare and information wasn't as easy. Looking ahead, it's clear that we all need to commit to building a safety culture that includes everyone so we can all stay healthy in this new landscape.
Yeah. And so in some ways, I'm feeling gratitude. Great. It's highlighting these things. If we do something about it and address it, right? Like it's like, great.
Step let's one, all look acknowledgement.
At it. Acknowledgement. Yep. And now let's take some action and do something about it.
All right. One of the biggest areas is socializing. During the pandemic, our social lives really took a hit.
And I didn't even think I really had
you
I
was
like,
you
I didn't think, I'm like, I don't do social, but
yeah.
Apparently.
Suddenly, we had to rethink how we connected with each other. Mm. With lockdowns and social distancing in full swing, the usual ways of hanging out were off the table.
Oh, God, I missed hugging. I'm such a hugger. And I was like, can I? Should I? No, maybe
no,
I don't
can't
know.
Hug.
I'll just see a 6 foot.
Hug.
Yep, okay.
So many of us turned to virtual communication. Video calls, online hangouts, and social media became our go-to lifelines for staying in touch and creating a sense of community. It really made us think about the quality of our interactions.
I think when we're coming out of it, I still feel this way. I don't take for granted when I get to see my people in person. There was a lot of creative momentum that was going on via the Zooms and the Google Meets and all that. I was songwriting with people around the world, around the country, that never would have happened. Like, I just wouldn't have even thought about that. I was like, oh, well, I have to fly to that place to be able to do that. There was just a lot of creative responses that came out from having to,
we had to.
We had to.
So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about some of the lessons that have come out of the pandemic. Way too many to cover in one episode. Mm. Let's zoom in on gratitude, adaptability, and the importance of community.
Gratitude was a big one for me. Things that we just were taking for granted in every day of our quote-unquote normal life were no more. There was an adjustment and a real appreciation for those things, even before they came back.
Oh, yeah, right? Absolutely. We couldn't just, hey, you want to go grab a bite? Hey, you want to come over? We couldn't do that.
Yeah.
For a good while.
Yeah.
As we navigated out of the pandemic proper, because we still in it, y'all.
Yeah. Right.
We have, I know personally, Karen and I have started and continue to express gratitude more regularly. Appreciate the small moments and connections that kind of became, before the pandemic, like second nature. Like we could just always do these things. This person will always be here. We can always do this. And then it was just like, oh, wait, no. No, we can't. So let's appreciate the time that we do have together. For me, the shift became more about the quality of the time spent rather than having a whole bunch of things. My calendar, I mean, it's still a little bananas, but before it was like always on the go, always doing something somewhere with somebody.
It was just like dead stop, just an immediate hit.
Sit down.
Yeah. Even now, anytime I get to hang out with a friend or do something out, I feel so grateful to spend that time physically in person.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a gift.
Yeah. We talked about adaptability, the sudden shift to remote work, online learning, and altered social interactions.
It's true. That was kind of pretty cool to watch. I was like, oh, humans are adaptable.
We found innovative ways to connect with each other and cope with the new challenges. One of the ways that I remember in the pandemic was drag bingo.
What?
And the queens were in like Milan or something like that. Like, or Madrid. I'm not. Oh, one of them M words.
In Italy.
We played drag bingo.
Really?
With our bingo caller on the other side of the world. We were all in our homes, and like there was this thing like in the beginning where they were like getting to know, because it wasn't just us up there, but like, do you have a talent you want to share? And like someone read a poem and sings. We were still connecting and having a good time. That virtual meetup was a memory that popped into my head. I was going through like, how did we adapt? Like, how did we stay connected?
Right.
It was great.
That's awesome.
It was a great experience.
That's awesome.
And then I remember one that you and I did with our other friend in the backyard. Once we were able to people a little bit more again outside, we had a charcuterie
with a respectable scene right now,
distance. Yeah. It was great. The ways that we found to stay connected speaks to that resilience, speaks to the strength of the human spirit. Mm. Even with so much worry and stress and anxiety, we still manage to connect with each other.
Right. In whatever way we could.
Whatever that looked like.
To survive. We need that social connection for survival. Mm. Yeah. I'm going to say one of the fond memories that I have is I had my own music business. I was teaching out of my home, and every one of my students stayed with me. They pivoted. And I just taught over Zoom. It was very challenging to do, but I'm so grateful that those families continued. They could have just been like, you know, Armageddon's happening. The sky is falling. I think we're going to let the music lessons go.
We're going to let this go.
But they didn't. They helped me be able to take care of my family because they just stayed on and we made it work. It wasn't ideal. And
you
that
made
show
it work.
Of support was really beautiful.
The adaptability and gratitude kind of naturally leads itself to how the importance of community came to be during this time.
Yeah.
We were able to demonstrate a collective resilience in those creative ways to stay connected, those ways of showing gratitude for the people who were still in our lives. Mm-hmm. Like all of that just highlighted how we can still have a level of solidarity and offer emotional support.
We can still come together.
We can still absolutely reinforce each other's resilience, encourage each other, and thrive. What comes to my mind is the rose that grew from the concrete. It's really bleak. It's really horrible. But there's also beauty.
Exactly. This was a huge life-changing experience, but you could find beauty depending
on
where you were looking. Frontline workers and people who were stepping in to relieve people and bring people food, and there was just so much there was so much beauty of the human spirit happening amidst all the panic and the anxiety. There were definitely those rays of sunlight. People are inherently good.
Any other reflection you want to share?
I think it took a toll on kids, man. The anxiety. I couldn't really put myself in my kids' position, one in high school, one in elementary school. Like, how is this going to impact them? What does this mean? And I understand that it's a first world problem. There's more challenging circumstances in a lot of other countries. But for my kids, I could really see the impact of this on their mental health. We pivoted and had a pod of friends for my son. And every week, a different person would host the outside play date. So these 8-9-year-old boys could run around and get some energy out. And we were careful about how we did it. And we came up with inventive things. My son and I built a miniature golf course in our backyard. Because we were like, well, what else are we going to do? And his friends came over and they're like, oh my God. You know, it was like, so there was like these beautiful moments. But boy, I definitely can see the toll it took on them. And it's a part of their life. It's a significant part of their life. And the kids that were graduating high school that year that couldn't have a graduation.
Oh
my heart
gosh,
went out to them
yes.
and their families. There was just a lot of those beautiful traditions and moments that got temporarily lost.
Yeah, the celebration of milestones that we weren't able to do the way that we normally did.
Yeah, my daughter's sweet 16. Her friends were just driving up the street. Like they were like,
oh, I remember.
Yeah, there was like car parades.
I came to that. I did a couple of parades.
You did.
I did come. Okay.
You did, for sure.
All right. So as we talk about community and gratitude, the song for this episode, Lean On Me by Bill Withers. Check out this week's song on the Yo Podcast playlist on Spotify. If there's a load, just call on me. Ooh, there's a beautiful reciprocity I need help. So I will reach out to my people and my people will respond.
Yes. And then when they need me, they'll know they can do the same. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, I wonder if one of the silver linings for me was learning to ask. Learning to ask for help, learning to lean on people.
2020, definitely a year when you started using your voice. Okay. Today's question, following that beautiful song.
Such a great song.
How has your perception of normalcy changed since the pandemic?
I now understand that there's really no such thing as normal.
Right.
And that we're just, it's okay. And things constantly evolve and change and we roll with it and we're adaptable and resilient and we just keep marching. We just keep rolling. Mm-hmm. I feel like in some ways it made me more appreciative of the things that can be stable at times. And it also made me enjoy the excitement and the ride of the journey.
Definitely the reminder that the only thing constant in the world is change.
Right.
And even as I said, unprecedented times in the opening, it's like, okay, but when were the precedented times? What exactly did they look like? Of course, this was something of huge, huge impact.
Right. I mean, global.
Global impact all at the same time. Like, but to your point, what even was normal?
Or were we just complacent? Were we just
very comfortable?
Right.
I don't know. Can't speak for everyone.
Right.
Can't speak for everyone.
It's true. I think in any challenging situation, there are silver linings. If you know where to look and how to reframe and change your perspective. I'm not saying it's easy, but they are available. The reframe, the shift in perspective, the shift in consciousness, that's all available when things like this happen.
It highlighted the importance of connection.
Yes.
And I think for me, that's where the seeds of intentionality were born. It's like, okay, these people, I understand from an abstract perspective, we're not going to be here forever, but they could really just be like, ooh, Thanos snap, gone.
Right.
Let me be very intentional about telling the people that I love them, spending time with the people I love, doing the things that people I love like to do that I may not like to do because I'm spending time with them.
Right. The meaningful connection.
So it definitely highlighted the importance of community and quality time.
I don't think I know anybody who was not shifted in some way from this experience.
They were not born. That's the only reason why they weren't shifted.
Yeah, right.
They just weren't here. But even born afterwards, their experience is different.
Right, because the people around them are different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
So, it was a wild ride.
Still is a wild ride. The effects of the COVID-19 pandemic continue to echo years later. This global crisis changed how we navigate our lives, how we connect with others, our mental well-being, and even how we show up daily. Those shifts are part of our journey now, and it's fascinating to see how we've adapted and grown through it all.
I can't believe it's been 5 years.
Yeah, it has been. I found a quote by Chilean-American writer Isabel Allende. Clap to me.
Right on the back. You did it. There was no hesitation.
Isabella said, "We don't even know how strong we are until we are forced to bring that hidden strength forward. In times of tragedy."
You got her name right though.
Name. It's all spot good. On. Tragedy. Horrible. Let's start over. We don't even know how strong we are until we are forced to bring that hidden strength forward. In times of tragedy, of war, of necessity, people do amazing things. The human capacity for survival and renewal is awesome. Yeah, Isabel.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, in those times of compression, there's that saying about if you compress coal long enough, it becomes a diamond. They were really shining moments where people were just stepping up and being so impactful and so powerful in the shows of love and care and concern.
Explorers, thank you for joining us on this journey of reflection today. This journey towards healing is ongoing, and we must recognize the strength we found along the way. Until next time, stay safe stay connected, and keep exploring.
And we'd love to hear about what your insights are about how you experienced the pandemic and what you took from it, what you learned from it. We really love this time of connection with you, explorers. We will see you next time. Take good care.
Thank you to Queenie's in downtown Durham for the use of their community podcast studio and for welcoming us so warmly each week. We'd like to give a shout out to Coco Cinnamon, the birthplace of 1023 Media and the Yo Podcast. Please support your local, women-owned, minority-owned coffee shop in downtown Durham. Brought to you by Durham-based 1023 Media, a heart-centered, woman-owned multimedia company.